Hey y'all, I'm your host Mark Covey, and I am with Alex Day from APOL Unsolved in West Virginia. Hey. We decided to basically have a full content day, and I'm like, you know, I want people to know you better, get to know your channel better, so we are going to be doing like a little true crime Q&A.
Fun.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. What first drew you into creating true crime content?
How I first got into true crime, or which case made me want to cover it?
Which case, like, made you want to start your YouTube channel?
Okay. That's a hard one. There's a lot in West Virginia. I will say the first one I really wanted to deep dive is one I've actually never covered. So that's funny. But it was a guy from my hometown. I'm from Taze Valley. And I had a friend. I mean, I'll say friend, but really we just partied together, if we're being honest. Like, it wasn't any more than that. Like, we weren't close. And he went to a party I was actually supposed to go to for a friend that passed away when we were in high school. And he went missing from that party. Yeah, they ended up finding him, and the police just handled it really poorly.
Right.
And it was the first time I really had an eye-opener that the police can handle things wrong anywhere. Because I think you always think in your hometown, it's not going to happen. Right. You know, like, they want what's best for everyone. And this person, unfortunately, his family didn't have much money. He suffered from a little bit of mental health issues. He wasn't drinking at the party. Like, when his mom got his toxicology report back, she had posted on Facebook about it, and there was nothing in his system, but they still ruled it a drug overdose and hypothermia because he went missing in October.
Right.
And that was the first time it really opened my eyes of why people do this stuff. Because I was about 19 at the time, and that's when true crime content, not like Nancy Grace, not like Dateline, but like podcasts and books, and, you know, that's the first time, like, that's when that stuff was starting to come about a lot. And that was the first time I realized, oh, this is why people do it. Like, it's not just an interest. It's like almost a cry for help for these people. And that's why I got into it.
Right.
But I will say the reason I haven't covered it is because I do try to reach out to families as much as I can, if I can find somebody. And of course, being from his hometown, I knew his family, and his mom was fairly eager for me to cover the case, but I could never consistently get into contact with her. And I felt like it hurt his brother more to continue to bring it up.
Right.
And I don't like doing that. There are cases, and I've told you some of them, that the family either just didn't seem like they wanted it covered. And as much as I had the fire in my heart to do it, I just won't do it.
Right.
You know, I think that's a line we have to really not cross with this type of content.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So what made you decide on a YouTube channel and not a podcast?
I think it's because I grew up watching YouTube.
Right, same.
So, I mean, podcasts are fairly new. Yes. You know what I mean? And I do love podcasts. I mean, obviously, I listen to yours. I listen to most of Creepalacha, mostly just the crime stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I do listen to other ones too, but those are the ones I usually run to. But I think, like, YouTube's just always been a part of my life since I was, like, in middle school, I think, is when it came out, right? Like, so I don't know. I've just always had a passion for YouTube. I didn't get into a lot of TV and movies. I mean, you do, but it wasn't what I ran home and did. I ran home to get on the computer because I was a chronically online kid. So I think when I started all of this, it was a no-brainer that I wanted to do YouTube because it was just part of my life. It's free. Yeah. You know, like, anybody can get on there and do it. And I don't know, I just had a passion for YouTube because I've always loved YouTube.
Right, same. Which we're slowly getting into video episodes.
And I know.
I like text you all the time. I'm like, I hate this. Yeah. Why did I ever do this?
Editing is brutal. That's why I'm not consistent.
Yeah.
So, like, editing's brutal.
I'm getting better, but I'm like a perfectionist. So I'm like,
yeah. And it is harder doing a YouTube channel. You can't hide the mistakes.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'll watch stuff and I don't think, I don't get a lot of comments about it per se, but I know where the jump cuts are. Mm-hmm. I know where I've edited stuff out. But with a podcast, like, well, let me say it this way. When I do like overlays where it's not my face, you're not watching me talk, it's so much easier to edit. Because I do, I take breaks when I speak. Like, I mean, we're from West Virginia. We speak slow a lot of the times. And, you know, the pauses and stuff. And it's hard.
Yeah. I will say, like, for me, audio is my first love.
Yeah.
Videos, I'm kind of growing to love. And, like, the first video episode we did was Brenda Gayle Lambert. Well, we dabbled before, but she was like the first big one.
Yeah.
And
with Christy, right? It was the interview?
It was actually just the episode.
Oh, the episode came out first. That's right.
I felt so bad because I was so tired. We recorded the day before. Audio was a disaster. The episode was a disaster. So we had to redo it. It was late at night. I was like yawning. And I
I remember this now.
And then I'm like, I had to re-upload it and like put the pictures over me. And I'm like, I feel so bad. Yeah. Chrissy's like, I fully get it. This case is a lot. I'm like,
that one is.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm happy she wasn't offended, but I'm like, I can't put that out into the world like that.
Well, and it's hard for me because if I find the family member, I send the video first. Mm-hmm. It is nerve-wracking when you do that. Like, because I felt like I really appreciate the video I did for Brenda. I actually am very happy with it. But it's still like you're happy with it, but is the family going to be happy with it? And I'm sure that's with the podcast episodes too. But it's like, especially when it's like your face, it's like, are they going to think, because I am a smiley person, I performed my whole life, you know? So it's like, I just automatically in front of a camera kind of do like the triangle face, if you know what I mean by that. And it's like, are they going to be offended I'm smiling when I'm talking about this? Are they going to like my little ad libs? Are they going to think I said things wrong? Like, it's nerve wracking.
It really is.
But Christy's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think she had me edit anything in it. She was like, this is amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Like, she is, I love her.
Love Christy.
So what does your research process usually look like when you start a new case?
It's a long time. It's a long time. So I try to do cases that have been requested, but I mean, you know as well as I do, there are just some cases that you're just like, I have to cover this. And the first thing I do is I scour the whole entire internet. Every single website I can find, any YouTube video I can find, any podcast I can find, and I diligently take notes, and I handwrite notes. So I can have, I'm trying to think, with my Jeff Crawford case, I had 87 pages front and back, like, no, hold on, 87 pages, like pages front and back written of notes, like just handwritten notes. Yeah. And then once I do that process, I type it all out. Because then it's like a reminder of everything I found. Once I type out all my freaking handwritten notes, then I do like a document next to a free document. That's where I start the outline. So then I'm reading what I typed. I'm starting the outline. And then once the outline's done, is usually when I make a post, if I haven't found a family member yet, and be like, you know, missing person. I've been looking into Brittany Duff. I just got in contact with her brother, so I'll use her. Missing person, Brittany Duff. A short summary of my outline. Does anybody know how to contact family members? Right, yeah. And most of the time, people are really diligent. They tag them in there, or they have seen it, so they message me. And I will ask to call them and go over the outline to make sure all my information's right, because you find out really fast. People will just put out whatever.
Literally,
yeah. And there are things that are just wildly wrong on the internet. So I always like to reach out to the family member if I can, go over the whole outline. And we do about two or three calls because, you know, I read them the first outline and then I'm taking notes while they're talking because they usually have a lot more to say. And I like to ask, what was your family member like? Because I like letting people get to know the person before finding out about the crime.
Same.
Yeah, because it humanizes them.
Yeah.
And so I always ask the family members, what do you want in here? How do I describe her per se? You know, like what's some cool stories you remember, memories? And so then I have to do a second outline. And so then I'm typing that back out, calling them again. Hey, did I say this right? Is this, you know, is this good? Yes. Then you record and then you edit. Then you send to the family member. Hey, is this good? Do I have to redo this? What do I need to change? And then I'll upload. So it takes sometimes up to 6 to 8 months for me to do a video. And, you know, people talk about it's better to be consistent, but I just have gotten to the point that I want quality over quantity on my page. And so if I don't upload for 2 months because I'm trying to get a story exactly how the family wants it told, exactly how it's correct, I'm just okay with that now.
Yeah.
I'm just okay with it. Yeah.
That's the best way to be, because like for us, I feel like podcast moves quicker than video.
They do.
And
yeah.
So,
and the algorithm's different for both the website of YouTube and the podcast community. You have to be consistent for them to push you. You just somehow have to hit an algorithm on YouTube. Yeah. You know
what I mean? So, like for us, we start on Fridays, then we switch to Mondays. Mondays somehow are better. And then, like for me, research process, it can be months, it can be days.
Yeah.
Like Charles Boone, his case took 4 days to get like all together. And
like Irene Wilson was days because I couldn't find a family member. There's nothing about her out there.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a picture. And yeah, that takes time. That doesn't take time. But then Jack Denny, I worked 9 months on because not only was I scouring the internet, because there are just some cases, there's nothing out there. Jack was one of them. Nothing was out there. So now I'm contacting literally every family friend, every person he grew up with. I mean, it takes a long time.
Yeah, like Nellie and Ray. We started research in September and released in November. So that's 3-ish months. And like I was going to meet someone to look at a map in like some old store in Beckley. And
it was,
I loved it. But I'm like, I can't do this every single episode.
Not everyone. So, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Have you ever uncovered something during research that completely changed your view on the case?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I think like every case that's happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the times people will come to me after I record too. And I don't necessarily stand on my video as much anymore, but it's already out there. The family's happy, you know, like, and it really is. It's for the family more than anything. So I will keep it up. But actually, I think, I'm trying to think of one. I think the Mark Cook case, I had made the video before getting a hold of Christy. And so I think, I can't remember, but I think I put in Mark Cook's case in the video that it wasn't related to Brenna Lambert. Well, then I talked to Christy and Christy changed my mind. And so I did correct it in the Brenda video when I uploaded it, but some people might not go look at the Brenda video, you know? And there's a lot of times it changes right before I do my video too. And, yeah, there's a lot of things. Miranda Weeks, another one. You know, I talked to her. I had to redo a whole solder video for her because I did not stand on anything that I pretty much said.
I go back and forth on that case. It's like tennis match in my head. What's the most challenging part of researching a true crime story?
I think the most challenging part to me is I get very anxious contacting family. Because you never know how they're going to react. Most of the time, they're very gracious. I will say that. But I really sit and think, like, how am I going to word this? How am I going to come to them and it not be like, oh, just this is for entertainment? It's like, No, they feel like I'm going to help them. And this is for them. This is for their family members. And I think that's honestly the hardest part.
Yeah.
Editing also sucks. I would say editing also is hard. But I think the part that I struggle with the most is making sure that I help the families know that I'm not here to do damage. I'm here to help you. And I want to be inviting enough that they can correct me. They feel like they can correct me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be weird about it because I don't care if something's wrong. Yeah. Please tell me, you know. But I mean, I try to put myself in the position of like, how would I feel if someone's contacting me like that? Would I feel like they could correct me and stuff like that? And I think it's just, it's hard dealing with other people.
Yeah, yeah. It is. And you never know how it's going to be. Like, I've only ever had, like, two families say, you know, no, we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then I had one that was, like, the case of David Fan. They're like, how do you get all this information? I went, it's online.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
Would you love to come in and talk? Ghosted me.
Yeah.
Then, like, I randomly got a message from them the other day, like, thank you for posting about her dad again. I'm like, of course. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll always post about him. So
I think I've had an outright no. And this was when I very first started my channel. So I don't know if it was just, like, they thought I was trying to get hype from it. But the Sue Roop case, they did say, I'm just not in the headspace. Yeah. Please don't. And so I didn't. And I was talking to, I think, the aunt of Brie Pugh, and I don't think she outright said no. I'm trying to remember because this was years ago, but I got the feeling it was hurting her more contacting her about it than helping. And of course, everyone wants to find Brie Pugh. That's such a sad case, but it was kind of like, you have to weigh your options. Is it worth putting that out there if you know that it's really, really hard for the family? And I recently had someone get a hold of me from Jeff Crawford's case, because there's three involved in that. And one of the families are like, you know, thank you for what you've done, but I think it's too much heartbreak to keep bringing up. So I actually just redid a video that's uploading in April where I cut her name completely out of everything. I tried to cut her out of the story as much as I could, but there's just some stuff that there's no way you can cut her completely out. So I just referred to her as the cousin or something like that. But yeah, like, and I appreciate those families though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do. I appreciate the families that are just outright like, hey, I just can't do it right now.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. What case has stayed with you long after you finished covering it?
Everyone.
Yeah, literally.
Like, I guess Jack's probably the biggest for me right now. And Jeff, because he was my very first case I covered. Jeff will always be in my heart. And I was around his family when I was younger. I unfortunately dated his cousin for a little bit. So, like, I was around when everything was happening. But one that I just stepped into strictly from covering is Jack. And he'll always be with me.
Right.
Unfortunately, yeah.
That's how I feel with, like, Nellie and Ray, James Lee Haynes, Brenda.
Well, I'm Cherise. Yeah. Cherise, yeah.
Because, like, there's always, you know, that connection because, like, my nanny knew Cherise's dad. So I'm like, and I grew up, like, down here. So
that's Cherise, the interesting thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about Beckley. There's a lot. Putnam County. Hardly anything.
Yeah.
Hardly anything happens. Well, hardly anything they tell us happens there. Right. But, yeah.
But, like, it's to the point where, like, I can consider, like, James Lee Haynes' family my family. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, there's nothing I would do to, like, change it. Like, I was talking to Brenda and Linda. They were on their way to another state, and they just called me to call.
Yep.
So, like, we were just, like, talking about the case, about, you know, what we want to do moving on, all this stuff. And they're not stopping anytime soon. No. So,
a family I just adore, and she's actually from Kentucky, Valerie Brooks. Her family, I would kill for her family. Yeah. I love her brother and sister. I just brought them on Creepalacha, but they were so cool. Mm-hmm. So they are literally my family.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would say that for James and Brenda, but then I'm like, Christy can literally defend for herself. And then I'm like,
yeah.
Brenda and Linda, I know, can defend for themselves. So I'm like,
oh, yeah. You want to talk about one from here? Christy? Feisty. I will kill for Christy. Yeah. Someone come for her just because I'll fight.
I would say I would, but I know she can handle her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to be the hype man.
Yeah. I'll be like, you get him.
Yeah, man, you will stand in the background. And we'll throw a punch for me.
Yeah, we'll be videoing it. Yeah. Yes. So, is there a case you wish more people knew about?
Again, all of them. Yeah. Like, I can't think of just one. I guess when I first started covering Jack, that bothered me that he was so close to our age. And I did have a lot of mutual friends with him because I found his Facebook. And not many people knew. I mean, a lot of people knew from his town, but not that many people knew outside of it. And another one is Jonathan Woodwards from Charleston. And I would talk to people and post about him. And people to this day will be like, I had no idea he was missing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he's from Charleston. And I feel like it's everywhere because our algorithms on Facebook and stuff show us everything. But I forget not everyone, you know, does crime for a hobby. Yeah.
I would hate to see, like, our algorithm versus a normal person. Yeah.
Or Google searches.
Oh, you.
I am screwed.
You do not want to see the tabs on my phone. Courtney has a full-on panic attack when she sees them because I have over 1,000 tabs.
Just saved. You might need it.
She's like, why? I went, well, there's one like for microphones I want. There's one for a recorder I want. Yep. There's like camera. There's this case. There's that case. There's this that we've covered, but I want to stay updated on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think true crime content can actually help solve a case?
I think it can.
Yeah.
I think it can also do a lot of harm.
Same.
Yeah.
Like, there's an ethical way of doing it, and then there's one where you just go gung-ho.
Yes.
Which isn't the best.
No.
The best thing to do.
We could go back and forth on some of the stuff that's been covered. That's just not ideal, but it is what it is.
Like, there's one, I won't mention who, I know you'll know who it is, did a video after Courtney's cousin Alex was found. Mm. And the video was of this person taking a picture off of a wall and then saying solved or something like that. And I'm like, you didn't even take time to like cover her case and you're wanting to do this. I'm like, okay, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like that got under my skin so much. And then like the same person said something about Charisse. Like, there's just some cases you don't cover.
I was like, why?
I'm like,
you're not even from around here. What would it matter if you covered it?
I'm like, so I could go about that. I'm like, you covered Brenda Gale Lambert. Her case is just like Charisse in a way. I'm like, they're so
And recreating stuff. You know what I'm talking about when I say that, like. I don't know about that. Like, there's one thing of showing like crime scene photos, and I'm even really weary about that. But it's like, there's some that give context that you need, but to recreate it, I don't like that. That gives me an icky feeling.
I think I would only do it if I, like, couldn't understand a crime scene. Because, like, for Danny Casolaro, I sent you those pictures.
Yes.
You know how bad they are.
They are bad.
Went back and forth on, like, can I use these? Can I not use these? But then I'm like, oh, the person I got them from Martinsburg Police, so no, I can't use them. But then I'm like, they're too gruesome, and then randomly found his autopsy pictures online.
Yeah.
But it's like me and Courtney were like, the crime scene makes no sense.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if we could have recreated any crime scene, I feel like it would have been that one.
Yeah. And I think it's different also, like, if, I know Brenda wasn't found, but like, if Brenda was found, it was a crime scene like you're talking about, and Christy gave us permission. Like, oh, hey, 100%. Do you care if we do this? That way we can show what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But then in my head, you don't need a body for that. Just recreate like a room or, you know, put a clear dummy down, you know, something like that.
Like for me, if Brenda's house was still standing, I would be like, can we go in and just like get content? She'd be like, sure.
Yeah. And I think it's different too. I tell you one thing that really, really bothers me, and maybe I've missed it a few times in my videos, I really try not to, is when, even if they're adults now, I don't like when people post pictures of people's kids on there.
Yeah. See,
like blur their face. Just blur it, you know?
I need to start doing that, but I think the last one we did was Charles Boone.
But that's an adult now, right?
Yeah, they're adults now. So, like, they're not kids' kids. So, I'm like, okay, this is an old picture. And then, like, his daughter did reach out to us and all that. And she was like, thank you for covering it and all that. And I'm like, well, if you ever want to talk, just let me know. She went, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And all of that. So, I think there's, like, a way to do stuff.
Oh, there's absolutely a way.
A certain way. And then there's just an icky way to do stuff.
There is. And that is why I reach out to families a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I feel better getting their approval. Like, okay, they think everything's okay. And I think that also diminishes how much hate you can get about a case. Because a lot of people, if they know a family is involved, if they know you're talking to them, they've approved everything, a lot of people are like, oh, okay, this is how they want it, because mm-hmm. I'm very big on having it exactly how they want it. I even ask, is there certain things you don't want in here talked about? There's some things in Jack's case, I think I've told you before, that it just wasn't relevant, and so I didn't put it in there. And then there's some things, like, just in cases, you know, it's usually about, like, sexuality or if they've partied or something, had a drug problem. Unless it's really relevant, I'll kind of keep that stuff out.
Same here, because like,
a lot of the times it is relevant, though. Yeah. I will say that. A lot of the times it is, and I kind of have to explain that to families, and they're usually okay with it. But ultimately, if they tell me to take it out, I'm taking it out.
No, same.
Yeah.
Same. If you could interview anyone connected to any case, who would it be?
It'd be Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, absolutely. Because first of all, what the hell were you thinking? But second of all, this is an unpopular opinion. I don't think he was the ringleader.
Yeah.
I don't. And you know, I have fallen asleep on my keyboard multiple times in the last few weeks. I don't know when this is going up, but I will have a video on my channel soon of his ties to West Virginia. There's nothing major in there, but there's something, you know. And I want to know who the bigger people were, because I do think they were world leaders.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people won't talk about it. Obviously, I think most of them are American, but they're everywhere. I mean, that's why every country's 100% about it. And I mean, I'm sure everyone at this point knows it's way more than just a sex trafficking thing. There's cannibalism, there's occult stuff, there's, I mean, any conspiracy theory you can imagine is in those files.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying.
See, I've never went down the rabbit hole of the files, because I'm like,
it's like, a mistake.
I physically just cannot do that to myself.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal.
See, mine is like totally different. I'm like, the only way I think I would cover the Natalie Cochran case, if I could sit down and talk to her.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know she did it. Like, I know she's guilty, but I want to do that case as unbiased as possible.
Yeah.
And because, like, we never heard her side of the story. She was supposed to speak at the trial, never did.
They're always told not to.
So
I will tell you another one. That's like a crime case more like this. Did you ever follow the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell trial? Oh, they were the doomsday couple. And if I could, she's a total nutcase. I mean, I've watched literally anything and everything I could about Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. And any interview she does is literally not worth shit. But like, just to sit down with her would honestly be terrifying, because I do think she's a sociopath and a true narcissist, not just like how we throw the word around now. I would love the opportunity to sit down with her or Chad, because Chad doesn't speak about it. If Chad would talk about it and I could sit down and be like, what the hell were you thinking about being the second coming of Christ and telling people that, you know, these people are dark and we have to kill them? Like, I could go on and on, you know, but that one, at 100%. But West Virginia, I don't know. I go back and forth on whether I would want to interview people that committed crimes and air it. But 100% Rachel Schoaf.
I was literally about to say that. I'm like, I want to talk to Rachel and Sheila.
I don't know about Sheila, because I think, I don't know. I feel like Rachel would be more honest.
True.
Because she has more to lose.
Did I ever tell you what happened to me?
No.
I was
Probably. I don't tell me.
I was at a gas station in Beckley, and the woman's like, oh, are you... YouTube channel. I went, no, but I, you know, host the podcast. We're getting into YouTube and all this. And she's like, oh, my daughter dated Rachel Schoaf in prison, and I have like a bunch of stuff she made me. I went,
can I have
like,
it? No, I'm
kidding. Like the Rachel Schoaf, she was like, yeah, she's like really sweet. I went,
I'm sure she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like.
And I don't think she was manipulated. No. That's my thing, too, is, you know, a lot of people think she was manipulated into that. And it might not have been her idea outright, even though it was literally on their YouTube channel. All that was just taken down, by the way. When I did my video on Skylar Neese, it was all up because I put excerpts from their YouTube channel. I like literally screen recorded the videos and put it in there, but now it's all gone. In those videos, Rachel makes comments. It's Rachel making comments about killing her and stuff. And I do think the push came from Sheila. But I don't think, I think they joked about it enough and Rachel was okay with it once the push came from Sheila.
I wonder if it was taken down because of the Hulu docuseries.
It might have been. Which, they might have bought the rights to it.
I watched that.
I'm not taking my video down though. Yeah, no. You can pay me.
Yeah. Like, I watched it, but... it wasn't what I expected. There is, I don't think I've actually finished it. I think I have like a few more.
Did they put the YouTube videos in there?
There's a bunch of videos in there.
There was only like three on the page, but they were all like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, they're like, they're driving down a road, eating McDonald's. Yep. Yeah, they're all, they're like snippets. And
those are in my videos.
So I like... kind of getting like their side, but I would rather hear from them than the family members and like these videos and tweets and
Tweets were actually already taken down when I did my video because I like to put like if it's tweets, I want to put up their actual tweet, but I had to actually do an overlay where I typed out what they said. So I wonder if Hulu was already working on it. Like they had already taken down the tweets.
Yeah.
But they were still working with YouTube because this was about a year ago when I did my video.
Well, they were doing, they just like did text over the thing.
Oh. So maybe they were taken down during the court trials then.
Possibly, because I know the podcast 3, which is, did a really good podcast. I think Audio Chuck owns it now. Their first season was on that and they had like all of the tweets in it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a case I would love to.
You know, I don't think you can go in the prison and interview people in West Virginia.
But I will tell you, someone who was in prison in West Virginia that I want to interview, not a murder case, Martha Stewart.
Oh, yes.
Love her.
So my family used to have a cabin in Alderson where the prison is.
Yeah.
And that prison's, I say wild, but not like wild, but like you can pull right up to it. There's like, there might be gates now, but when I was like 14, there wasn't.
Oh, me and Courtney.
When she was there, there wasn't.
The only one you cannot pull up to around here is the federal prison. Mm-hmm. But me and Courtney, we ended up like one day in Southern Regional Jail parking lot. And we're like,
let's go walk right in here.
Literally. You know, right? Which now I know people that work there. So I'm like, I probably could just walk in there, but yeah.
No, like, but there was a girl, because they just release the prisoners into Alderson, and my stepmom will literally talk to anybody. And so how I remember it is there was a girl at a gas station. It was pretty clear she had just been released, and I think she needed some money, because they do give you some money, but it's like $40, you know, and it's supposed to be for the train to go back. I think she was going back to Charleston, but she was starving. So she was at the gas station trying to figure out what she could eat and still have money to get the train, which just the answer was she couldn't do it. So my stepmom was like, I'll get you something to eat. And, you know, you get on the train. But she said, I know what it was like to be in jail with Martha Stewart. And she told us. And she said she was really cool that, yes, there were perks. Obviously, there was perks from Martha Stewart being there. But she used everything that she got extra as, like, an opportunity. Like, you know, you're not supposed to be able to, like, him or fix your outfits. I think they were allowed to do that if I remember correctly, but she was teaching them how to sew. So once they were out of prison, okay, now they knew how to fix clothes. Yes, they got certain food in. She taught a cooking class. So it was like, yeah, you get salmon, but you have to know how to cook it now.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, from what I remember. I mean, this was like 20 years ago, but she was really evidently she was really cool. She was like the mama in there. And from what I understand, a lot of people didn't have issues with her, and that she was just really helpful to a lot of people. And that girl's like, you know, I came from a really rough background. I was never even taught to cook, and now I know how to do steak, you know? And she was like, that's a lot of money when you have to eat out all the time. Yeah. Now I don't have to. And she was like, just so happy, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
What case would you love to see solved in your lifetime?
I mean, everyone. Yeah. But Brenda probably is my biggest. Valerie, if we're talking just like overall, I would love for Valerie Brooks to be solved. She's in Kentucky. Brenda, Jack, Jeff, Jonathan. I mean, there's a ton of them, but I think for me, the ones I want solved the most are the ones that we already know the answer to. Just please, like, just do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know how I feel about Jack. Like, we know what happened.
Yeah.
We know, for the most part, what occurred or what caused the occurrence to happen. The fact we can't just get an answer is crazy to me. And that's not really anything towards the police. That's just overall, you know, overall circumstances. Brenda, I feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
We know what happened, and we could argue we know where she is. But why is nothing happening to give Christy and her brother Tim, any of them, right, answers, you know?
Have I told you I've been by the road where the sawmill is? Yeah. I did not know that, and I felt so bad when I found out that, like, Brenda and her sister, or not, Christy and her sister had to drive by, and I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, it's fine. She's like, Brenda used to live at the bottom of this hill. I went, that's cool.
But you know Christy would go up there. She doesn't care she had to drive by, and she wants to go up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think for me, Brenda, Charisse, James Lee Haynes, love for Nellie and Ray to be solved in my lifetime, but I know it never will.
I would love for the Beckley John Doe to be solved.
Same.
We literally have his DNA.
Literally, why we aren't doing anything with it.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of John Doe cases I've covered. Like, there's one in Morgantown, and, like, it was just skeletal remains, so it probably won't ever really be solved. But he had a wallet on him, and granted, it was a fake ID. But it's like, did they ever look into whether the picture was him? It was just a different name. Like, did they look at where this ID came from?
I would love for, like, the Wetzel and Morgan County Jane Doe to be solved. Because they're both, like, so solvable to me. But I'm like,
yeah. And I do think it's just time with those, because they were in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Well, I guess, wasn't Beckley John Doe in the 70s?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, what, Wetzel is the one tied to the redheaded murders?
I think so. I get them confused.
Well, it's the same because we have gotten into arguments about this on Facebook.
They look alike.
People think they look alike, and they thought I posted the same person. I'm like,
and here I come, and I'm like, nope. Here's her name is, here's this name is.
Then you have like other people doing it. I'm like, well, my work here's done.
I know, right? You're always like, Alex, this person's giving me, before I even reply, I'm already on the comment thread.
Yeah, I like didn't even know you were doing that. And you're like, yeah, well, I already replied. I went, I love you. Okay, what's a popular case where you disagree with the common theory?
I guess we could say the Sodder children, right?
Yeah.
But that's an easy answer because we're friends with Miranda and literally talk to her every day. But
Jahlia Davis.
Yeah. But I don't think the common theory she died in the car wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's very 50-50, but if we would talk about common theory, I think there's too many conspiracy theorists nowadays to go with the car wreck case. But I mean, I've told you my story about getting that FOIA request.
Oh, yeah.
There was something weird as hell walking into that police department getting that FOIA. And yeah, I'm not going to go into that very much farther, but it was a weird encounter. Like most of the time it's not like that. And it was like that with that case. And, so that really makes me think there was something that's just not right.
Right.
Not right. And I think I've told you a little bit, like I have changed my mind on the Jack case a tiny bit. Like I still, for the most part, believe everything like we did our episode on, but I do think it might be more possible that he didn't think he could get out of his circumstances. I think it's more believable he could have done something to himself.
Yeah.
But I think it's also very possible that it was a bad domestic violence situation. But I'm trying to think of any other cases that I just kind of don't agree with how they feel.
Yeah, I guess one for me is like James Lee Haynes, because everyone's like, he's a victim of the Mad Butch. And I'm like, the hell he is.
I know.
I have gone into so many arguments with people over this case. And I'm like, for good reason, I'm like, I've known this case my entire life, and then getting in contact with the sisters, I'm like, come hell or high water, people are going to learn he's not a victim of the Mad Butcher.
Yeah.
Now he's in a book featured in the Mad Butcher, and like
that's a whole other person we could go into that that I think exploit cases, but whatever.
I mean, like, do I think his chapter was decent? Yeah. But it's because it was just newspaper articles that was pulled from. But
I guess I could argue I don't believe Wes Blackburn's in the mine. I'll say that much. I don't think he was ever in that. Yeah. Well, I don't think his resting place is in that mine.
I can't speak too much on his case because I've...
Yeah, I don't want to say much more. Yeah, I just want to say that.
I've never been able to, you know, look into it because... You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't think he was there. Too much on that one.
Oh, no. No. I just want to say that is one that I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's there.
A lot of the Wyoming County ones are weird. And that's all.
I agree.
That's all I'll say on that.
Yeah.
Are there any cases from West Virginia or Appalachia that you think deserve more attention? And you cannot say all of them.
I know. I say all of them because I don't feel West Virginia does well with missing person cases.
Well, and I don't think they do well in general because, you know, the whole reason, and I feel like this is the same for you. The reason we started the podcast is I would listen to like the major podcasts and I'm like, you're covering cases from like every state around us, but you're not covering cases from here. So I'm like,
or they'll cover cases from West Virginia, but like I've heard a lot of them cover Jahlia's. They say she's from Ohio. people that cover Skylar Niece will say Pennsylvania or just forget West Virginia as a state and say Virginia.
Oh, that's that happened in a case of Brenda. And I'm like, you guys are one of the biggest podcasts. I think it was like Redline. It was two blonde girls. Remember that. And I'm like, what the hell? But, you know, one who I used to listen to and I stopped listening to over a West Virginia case was Bailey Sirian.
I agree. Which one was it?
Jalea Davis.
Yeah. I quit listening to Mile Higher with Kendall Ray and her husband Josh because of the Jalea Davis case.
I mean, I get where people can get like very confused, but I'm like, you have people working for you.
And I think that one's hard because when they're major like that, like Bailey Sirian. There
is so much into her case.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know those people are filing FOIA requests. You know they have the file. Mm-hmm. And I do. I have the case file, obviously. Yeah. And all you have to do is go off what's in the case. I could go. That's a whole rant I get hot even thinking about that.
I will tell people, I'm like, you know, you can listen to us, but like also listen to Crime Junkie.
Because
like they fact check, they get FOIAs, they go on the road, like all of that. So I'm like, I will listen to a podcast I know they put the work into. Like, I listen to you. I really have no time to listen to, you know, a lot anymore. Yeah. So
that's the hard part is when you do this, it becomes like I still listen to when you put out stuff. I still listen to, you know, the crime stuff with JD and because you guys, you know, I know how engagement works. So I'm going to help you guys out. Right. But like, I don't have time to listen to stuff for fun anymore. Yeah. And that's kind of hard.
Yeah. Like, you know, me and Courtney, we listened, like when we were on the way to DC, we listened to the Conspiracy Theories podcast.
Yes.
And like, I like love them. But like as of crime and stuff, I'm like, you know, I'm a consumer, but I can only consume so much. Yes. Like after watching the Hulu documentary of Skylar Niece, I'm like, I don't know if I can like watch another documentary for a while.
After I'm done covering a case, it's really hard for me to watch anything else because I do consume so much time into it that I'm just like I have no, I do not care.
And plus, I was coming off the whole Charles Boone like editing, getting that case together, the video editing. Yeah. So I'm like, my brain is mush.
Yeah, I have to go back and just listen to like YouTube drama videos, like, you know, and stuff like that. And there's like this older man on YouTube I listen to who literally just sits on his front porch and talks about his dogs.
I
will
tell you what I do to like numb my brain right now is I've downloaded Tubi, which I love.
Yeah,
like Tubi. I've been watching Brickleberry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's literally the best brain numbing thing ever, but another question is, what advice would you give someone thinking about starting a true crime YouTube channel?
I would say, first of all, don't just do cases because you think you're going to get engagement. When I first started my YouTube channel, I focused on West Virginia, but I would also do cases that I thought were just fun. And I did do Chris Watts in the very first year. And it's still actually my highest view video, but I'm about to, I might take it down because your first year, you know, there's a lot of mistakes you make. Yeah. You just want to, you know, do differently. But I covered Chris Watts and it got me engagement, but I wasn't proud of it because everyone had done it and people are so nitpicky about those cases. And then I did Gabby Petito because that was when it was going on. They hadn't found Chris Laundrie yet by the time I covered it. Yet I got no engagement because everyone was covering it. Like, you can't do cases just based on what you think is going to get you big because it's really hit or miss. Like, algorithms are really, really weird. And
I mean,
Like, you need to do what you're passionate about.
Yeah, we started with Nellie and Ray. I knew that one wouldn't be, like, I knew locals would like it. I knew it wouldn't go, like, all over the place. So, like, it kind of shocked me when we had people from London, all this. Then, like, recently, the furthest case we've done was Kipling Davis.
I loved that one.
And that one blew up in a way that I've never seen an episode blow up before. Like, we had thousands of downloads the first day. And I'm like, oh. So we're like dabbling into other cases. Like, you know, one case that we're going to be covering on the Mystery Club, which is our fan club. If you aren't subscribed, you should.
Yes.
And it's like one case that me and Courtney were like, we love it.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't love celebrities on a boat?
Yes.
You know?
And I think your audience will know what you're doing just for engagement and what your heart's in. And that's why I had to just be like, no, you know, I'm just doing it. And if you are, I do suggest you contact families as much 100%. As you can. And the families know if you're doing this just for getting big on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or something, or if you're doing it because you care and because you want to help them. Yeah. So I really say, like, you have to do something your heart is into. And I also suggest you start as a niche. You start in one area. Like, I don't know if your case for Kipling Davis would have blown up if you didn't have the solid foundation of West Virginia cases already. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so that's what I suggest. I suggest, first of all, contact families as much as possible. Do cases you're passionate about, even if they're not covered. Because my Jack Denny case blew up because no one covered it. Mm-hmm. If you search Jack, well, now there's you. And I think we didn't do a solid just episode, but I do talk about him in one of my episodes of Creepalacha. You know, us three show up now. But for a long time, it was just me because no one else was covering it.
Yeah.
So if you do cases that you're passionate about that don't have much coverage, first of all, the family is most likely going to be so supportive. They're going to be so appreciative, so thankful. You're now going to be the only one in the algorithm, probably, that it's out there of. And you're passionate about it, and your audience is going to feel that. They're going to feel that fire, and that's what's going to have them come back.
Which there's like James Lee Haynes, we were the only one that covered his case. And like, we got some stuff wrong because we were going off newspaper reports because I couldn't get in contact with the sisters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ended up like one night seeing I had a message on the email and I'm like, oh, this is big. So like, I called my nanny, called Courtney. I'm like, we made it.
Yeah.
And, you know, never turned back since. But now, you know, JD's covered it. There's a guy on TikTok that's covered it, which my dad sent it to me, and I'm like, okay, he listened to my episode because, like, no one knows about my great-grandmother that was the cook. So I'm like,
yeah,
that's cool, whatever. So, like, his case is finally getting the coverage that it should. But then, like, also, like, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You can blow up overnight because, I mean, you saw what happened to us. Like, we posted the guy who was supposed to be, like, National Parks and stuff. I forget his
name. Chris Palmer.
Yes, he was with his dog.
And it did. It blew up. And I'm saying,
literally blew up overnight. And I'm like,
I'm seeing you in all these groups. Yeah, oh, my gosh, like, you're doing. I was, like, so happy for you.
Me and Courtney had no idea what was going on. And then, like, I posted Nancy Guthrie to, like, post her, and I'm like, we're getting zero engagement on her. And I'm like, I know everyone's posting it, but
that's the hard thing. And that's why, you know, we've talked about this. I don't do a lot of, like, really recent cases because, first of all, my life is my kids. My YouTube channel is just a hobby. Like, you know, like, I have another full time job and I work around my kids' schedule, really, if we want to talk about it. And that's my biggest thing. So it's like, I don't have time to just sit there and type out a post real quick. Yeah. So I'm never the first one. I'm not really have a lot of engagement in it. And I would much rather share yours or JD's, who do have that time to really dig right away and post something, than just force it out of myself. Yeah. You know?
It's hard, but I will say that, like, some cases I've had scheduled for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you always, like, tell me to.
Yeah, this is the first week that, like, we haven't really posted because, you know, we were on vacation. Mm-hmm. So we're like, we're just going to take a break because, like.
Yeah, I'm on the break too.
Brain is mush right now. We're both, like, under the weather. I'm, like, fighting sinuses because everything was, like, bloomed in D.C., so.
I spent a week on The Sims.
I always feel like it's good to take a little break because being in the realm of true crime 24/7, it does take a toll on you.
Yeah, it really can spike your anxiety because you feel what the family feels, especially if you're dealing with family, right? Like, you feel what they feel. They know they have a support system in you, so they do. They contact you more. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about the fact that, like, yeah, there's a lot of work leading up to cases, but there's a lot of work after you cover the case, too. Like, you know, the Jonathan Woodward case, I covered him, and I just helped his mom get on Creepalacha. I'm on that episode with her, too. And we've had so much happen. I won't really go into it, but we've had so much happen since my video and since JD's video, that is a lot. I don't want to say stressful. That's not the right word, but just it's a lot compared to the lead up to, you know, interviewing and stuff. Yeah. So you need those breaks.
Yeah. And, like, for us, we don't stop, like, research. So, like, Baby Christian, for instance, we're wanting to recover it. For YouTube and just have it be like a YouTube episode because that case, heartbreaking, how no one knows who his parents are, blows my ever loving mind because DNA, but I also understand funding, all of that. So in my mind, I'm like working out a 10-year plan for Mountain State Mysteries where, you know, I'm talking about other shows, wanting to literally just have this as a full-time business, then wanting to do fundraisers to help for DNA to get, like, the Beckley John Doe case solved, all of that. And then, like, I've seen how searches happen. It takes time.
Searches are hard to plan. We both planned a search at this point. Like, it's a lot.
It is. And, like, there's a lot that goes into it, and, like, my mind never stops. Yeah. Like, last night, I was up till 3 a.m. working on stuff for today.
Sleep by 10:30. Yeah. My Sims game crashed, so I was like, I'm just going to bed.
I texted her. I'm like, well, I know she's asleep. I'm like, I found this in this document that was just emailed to me, so I'm like, I have to tell her. So, yeah. Like, my mind never... like, shuts off.
Yeah, that's a thing, too. Like, for people that don't know, my full-time job's a massage therapist. And my mind's completely going. Like, I'll have people, they'll come in and they're like, oh, I'm from Mingo County. And I'm like, have you heard of Brittany Duff? Do you know this person? I've had multiple people come in from Parkersburg. Do you know Cindy Ball? Depending on their age, do you know Cindy Ball or do you know Jahlia Davis? Or do you know the people in Jahlia Davis's case, you know, if you're from Mason County, oh, have you heard of Grace Smith? Have you heard of Jeff Crawford? And it's like, to us, it doesn't stop because anybody could hold information we need for these cases.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody can. It's not just family members. It's not just the people we talk about in the video. It's really a community effort to solve this stuff and to even just put out episodes and videos, get information for families. Yeah. I mean, it's something – that's another thing I'll say to people that want to get into this world is, yes, it is a hobby when you start. Hopefully you can make a business out of it or, you know, make some type of monetary stuff for the effort and, you know – stuff that you're doing for it, but it's like, it's never ending ever. Like, you will be in it for the until you run. Stop, you know? And that's why the burnout's so real in it.
Yeah. Which, you know, have I reached burnout? Yeah. But it's always like when we are doing a little break. So I'll take like 2 weeks off. If I travel out of state, I'm like, I'm not going to work on a case.
Yeah.
But then I was on vacation 1 year at a lake. And I'm like, I'm just going to bring my stuff. I'm not going to cover anything just in case, like, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up typing out a full story in 2 days, covering it at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Because there was an update in the case of Judy Petty.
Oh, of course there was, and while you were on vacation.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let me do this. And then I'm done. Yeah. I wasn't done.
Yeah.
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 And then, like, I always try to stay in contact with the families mm-hmm. after. So, like, last month, me and Christy were up talking till, like, midnight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then, like I said, James's family called me. And then Burley Kelly's family, I will text his daughter-in-law here and there to, like, stay updated. So,
yeah, and I think it's interesting now because when I first – so I started my YouTube channel in – well – I started researching for my YouTube channel in 2020. I think my first video actually came up in 2021. It was all just me. But now we're all starting to get a little network that works yeah. together. And it's interesting because when I'm, like you're saying, you keep up with families afterwards. I keep up with families afterwards, but now I have this opportunity that's like, oh, can I come tell this story on yeah. your channel? Like, I've done it on mine, but can I do it on yours? And, you know, vice versa, of course. And then, like, oh, I can get an interview with these families if they mm-hmm. want to on Creepalacha. You know, like, do you want to go do that? I can contact you if, like, you know, we have places to do it. Like,
yeah.
Now it's not just, oh, we're doing it by ourselves anymore. Like, we can help the families at such yeah. a bigger reach.
Yeah. Like, I know that, like, me, you, and Miranda Weeks have, like, talked about doing a round table.
I want to do a round table so bad.
I'm like, I don't know how good that would be, but I'm like, I know it would be entertaining for people.
It's going to be all three of us just.
Yeah.
Probably talking over each other a little bit most of the time, but just be so excited we're all in the same yeah. room.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm like, I already have, like, the place in mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's kind of old, creepy, but, like, it's kind of, like, in the middle for all of us. I'm like,
yeah. We have to do it.
We would have to. And then
and like, we still have to ghost hunt.
Yeah. I'm like, we can stay the night and ghost hunt after, yes. you know?
And for the round table, it's going to be interesting. You guys got to tune in because we all three have a kind of a different yeah. view of what happened to the Sauter
yeah.
children.
Yeah.
I think me and Miranda's are probably the closest, I would yeah. say, but see, we still vary.
Yeah, I go back and forth all the time. So, like, one day I'm one thing, another day I'm like, well, this makes sense. So,
that one's hard.
Yeah.
That one's hard because whatever you believe in the case, it wasn't handled correctly.
No, and I mean, there's like a new theory out there, which I don't believe the theory, but I believe a certain part of the theory.
Yeah, there's parts of the theory I do believe. Yeah. I don't know if I believe the full theory. I can understand why he believes the full yeah. theory. I'll put it that way.
Which I never realized. I've been by that house so many times.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, because it's like right next to a location where I used to do ghost hunts, and they have like ducks in their backyard.
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
Ducks, okay.
So, like, I was so confused because I was like there and like quiet, and all I hear was like quacking. I'm like, so I like look out the window and there's like ducks everywhere. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt nervous about putting your voice or opinions out, like, about a case?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be real. The people we're talking about that have committed the crimes are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, most of the time, they've killed someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or at least that's what we believe. The one that really kind of freaked me out, and it was the beginning of my YouTube channel, and you get kind of paranoid when you start this. Like, I'll tell you that, too. That's another yeah. tip
me
I'll give
Courtney
people.
We're so paranoid.
You will get
beginning.
Paranoid. Like, you will think people are following you. You are yeah. going to think you have a way bigger reach than you do. And more people are going to yeah. figure out you're covering it than it does. But Danny Casolaro really bothered me because, first of all, my video was shadow banned. And I know a lot of people say that, but it, like, literally was on YouTube that I don't even think you can search it. Like,
really?
We'll have to try. But for a while, you couldn't. And he wasn't getting any coverage. So it wasn't just getting buried in the algorithm. Mm-hmm. And so then in my head, I'm like, oh my God, the government's going to come after me. And like that kind of stuff.
That was one that I'm like, I don't want to like go too deep into it, but I'm like, I want to go deep enough.
Yeah. So, that one was hard to pick and choose what was going to be out there and what wasn't.
Yeah.
But then you have to be really careful. Like I said, Putnam County, there's really not much. Yeah. I don't think I've covered anything in Putnam County. Yeah.
Which there's some information we've gotten that we're like, we can't put this out there. There's like no true facts to it, but I'm like, it's coming from the family. So I'm like,
That's also a hard thing. It's like, if a family believes something and in your heart, you know, there's no proof, you can't. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable putting it out. But you have to worry about cases being around you. Like, I covered a girl named Crystal Young. She was killed in Charleston. Now, the police did think someone else did it. I don't necessarily believe that. It's been a long time since I've covered her case, so I'm a little fuzzy. But, like, I mean, I'm dealing with drug dealers 20 minutes from me. You know, like I'm putting, and I made a point to only put their nicknames out there, but I mean, people still knew their nicknames, but like, I'm sitting here, like at that time I worked in Kanawha City, which is like literally 10 minutes from the west side. I'm driving through there all the time. My dance studio that I danced at for a long time was at the west side. So people knew who I was down there. Mason County isn't that far from me. Those people are wild.
Yeah.
I mean, they will do whatever they want down there, and you won't be found. And that is proven in many Mason County cases. You will not be found. There is hardly any case down there that's usually solved.
Yeah.
And plus the police suck. Like I probably shouldn't be that open about how corrupt I think a police force is. But also,
people need to know.
But that police force is corrupt. They force people out of it that are outsiders. They have tons of secrets.
So it's like good boys, like good old boys.
It's total good old boy system. You have to be really careful when you cover cases that are close to you. I'm a lot more ballsy covering cases that are farther away from me.
Yeah, same. Like, there's some cases I've been told not to cover. Like, I'm not allowed to cover the one that happened at, like, a family member's house before, you know, anyone lived there.
Yeah.
I want to say that. Yeah, I'm like...
I can't cover that one my dad didn't know.
Well, no, like, I want to cover it so bad, but they're like, no, the people know where the house is. So, like, they're out of jail. You can't cover it. I'm like,
that's another thing. You have to look and see. Some cases we cover, they're in jail for other things.
Yeah.
When's their release date? Yeah. Because it can't be around when you cover it.
Yeah, I will say one case that bothered me, like, afterwards was Doc Whitley, because... Mm-hmm. They ended up in the Facebook comments. And I'm like...
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
I don't know. Like, it was fun, but I'm like, I don't know how well this is going to go.
Yeah.
So, but there's so many out there. So many.
Yeah.
How do you decide which cases are worth covering?
I just go with my gut.
Same.
Now, a lot of the times, if someone's requested it more than once, I will usually look into it.
That was us with the Sauter case. We never planned on covering it because, to me, there's more versions of the Sauter story than there are of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, you have National Geographic or not, whoever.
And like, what was it? BuzzFeed did one.
Yeah, like, you have all of these.
History Channel. Yeah.
History Channel, not National Geographic. Yeah. That's animals.
Yeah.
History Channel. Like, you have all of this. You have the Smithsonian putting stuff out. So, we're like, you know, it's been covered 5 ways till Sunday. We're not going to do it. And then, like, it kept getting requested. Just like the Mad Butcher, we were never going to go cover it because we thought it's fake story.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a Mad Butcher in Fayette County.
Sorry,
and I still do not believe there was.
I don't either. Like, I don't either.
Prove me wrong, people. But...
I felt that way about Jalea.
Yeah.
But I got requested it so often.
She was another request of ours.
I was like, okay, I need to do this. And I do care about Jahlia. I don't want to act like I didn't care about Jahlia because, I mean, I was balls deep when it was happening. I got
sucked into her case.
Yeah. But I felt... you almost feel like you have too much heart into cases to cover it, too. I didn't feel like I could be unbiased. And I think I did an okay job for being as strong with what I think happened as I was. I really tried to be unbiased and really just go off what I found in the case files and stuff. And I did talk to Kim a little bit, but we lost contact because we were talking through the Justice for Jahlia page. And then...
it got hacked or something like that.
Yeah. Right? We'll talk about that later because... Yeah. That's
see,
and then like they had that one podcast, which I'm not going to go too much into because I just don't think that girl's a good person at all.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like there was so much that was already done, but so many people kept requesting it that I was like, okay. And so I did kind of go against my gut on that one, but for the most part, I go with my gut.
Same. Yeah. Like me and Courtney, we will go through and make a list of like 50 cases. Some's from West Virginia, some's not. Like we have one from Hinton, or we have one from Hinton that was requested for us. And I was messaging the person who requested it, and they're like, on second thought, it might not be smart to cover it till the person that committed the murder has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, that's smart because, like, Hinton's kind of like a hop, skip, and a jump to, like, here.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, makes sense. So, that one's kind of been put on the back burner. And then, if there's, like, Natalie Cochran, there was a bunch of coverage on that. But, like, I'm still debating if I want to cover it or not. So.
But now there's not.
Yeah.
So, you're probably good at covering it now. You would have got lost when covering it earlier. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, there's like that. I try to play smart with certain cases. Like Charles Boone, we ended up putting his case out on the week he was murdered, which literally just happened. But I'm like, oh, that's such a coincidence. So, yeah, it's things like that that I'm like, my brain like short circuits over.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Has anyone ever reached out to you claiming to know something about a case?
All the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Literally just a few days ago.
Yeah. I've had one that was like, this person is buried in a family cemetery. Here's the location. Me, I need like either the coordinates or the actual location, or I cannot find it. So I was going out alone one day looking for this graveyard, could not find it. Courtney's like, why didn't you take me? I'm like, just because you were working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was off and I had nothing to do. So I'm like, I'm 2 seconds away, so I might as well just like turn up the road.
Yeah.
So there's things like that. And then we get like crazy messages sometimes from just like random people. Like we had someone named Jennifer Lopez.
Shut up.
Like email us and they were like, hey. And we're like, do you want us to cover a case? Yes. Okay. What case? Never heard a reply.
Never heard a reply.
Then you have like just people just like throwing theories in the comments.
Yep.
I'm like, well, this makes sense, but like your timeline doesn't make sense. So
yeah, you get a lot of people that come to you, and I think most of them are harmless. I don't think people mean ill will if they give you bad information, but
it's just what they believe.
Yeah. I do think some people just want to be able to say they're a part of it.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to go with your gut on that too, to decipher it. But I will say, if someone gives me a location somewhere someone's at, even if I don't necessarily believe it, and you know who I'm talking about, I work with a canine service.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I will send Nathan the stuff. Hey, what do you think about this? Do you think this is something we can do? If we have enough information, we can do a search. But I'll just go ahead and put out there so everyone knows. Like, you have to have a reason to go search a place like that. And if it's private property, you have to get permission to search it.
I already have permission to search private property.
Yeah.
And, like, Nathan's dog has already searched.
Love Charlie.
But I'm like, I want to go where there's things found in trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's, like, this one part where there's, like, numbers carved in trees.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know it's old because it grew with the tree. So it's, like, up high. And I'm like,
Yeah, what would those numbers mean?
So I'm like, you know, I understand why they wanted to focus on the house for James. But I'm like,
way to put the name out there.
I'm like, let's focus on the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I might be messaging him, like, during the summer, you know, because I know he is always asking for training for his dogs. And I got permission from the people. They're like, we have cameras. We know you're there. We know you. We've known you your entire life. So I'm like,
you need a canine unit. Look up Nathan Justice. He's amazing. Yes.
Has anyone involved in a case ever contacted you after the episode aired?
I'm trying to think because I've covered a lot of cases.
Yeah. See, I've just had people getting comments like Doc Whitley's case.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times they reach out to either the family or they get in comments like that, but they do it under anonymous stuff. Yeah. So there's no way for me to have a back and forth with them. I've got to say no on that one. I'm trying to think. No, I didn't talk to Tessa after Jax, but people would reach out to me for Tessa, if that makes sense. Like, it's stuff like that. Like, it's either they do it anonymously, but it's like clearly them. Like, they're talking like it's them. Or they'll send people to me that's not directly them, but someone else. But I always wonder if that's because I work so close with the family. So, like, they know whatever. If you ever contact me about something, I will outright say, I send over everything to the family member I'm working with. I will keep you anonymous, but I will always send whatever info is sent to me to the family. And that's just the reputation I have. So I do wonder if that's the reason I don't get that much pushback, because I really don't. Like,
we've only ever really got it that one time.
Yeah. So. And I know it's, you know, the bigger you get, the more that comes with it. Yeah. Like, I'm sure, but I do think there's a safeguard with working so close with family members that there's just a lot of, like, bullshit you don't deal with because people know, well, if you're doing this to the creator, you're also doing it to the family.
Mm-hmm. What trends in true crime do you like or dislike right now?
I like that the big thing right now is to cover cases that aren't big, because there was a point that it was just oversaturation of the same five cases, and it was only what was on the news. But now, like, even when you look at big creators, for some reason, the algorithm on Facebook is pushing creators. I don't know if you've noticed that. Yeah. Like, you can make a lot of money on Facebook if you really want to right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why we're seeing a lot more of, like, those, like, creators and, like, podcasts coming back to Facebook as, like, a front instead of, like, TikTok or Twitter or something like that, that they used to use Instagram. But, like, so you'll see even creators post on Facebook now, like Kendall Ray, Christina Randall. These are YouTube people. Sorry if you don't know them.
No, I do.
Bailey, like, Sarian.
I saw Bailey and she's like, what case do you want me to cover? Like, from da 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 da. And you have all these comments. And then.
And they specifically sometimes ask for cases that aren't covered a lot. Yeah. And I appreciate that. Annie Elise does it on YouTube. You know, there's a lot of them that are starting to do that. And I really love that trend because families do really get their hearts hurt when they see a case covered so much and they have a family member that's probably the same circumstances, and they're not getting anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so I do really like that trend. I have a problem with people trying to almost mimic Dateline and Nancy Grace and all that on smaller platforms. Like, there is a place for that. Keith Morrison, Nancy Grace. I watch Nate Eaton a lot from East Idaho News, and he does like lives and stuff. And there's a place for that. But if you're a smaller content creator, you're just, or, you know, anything like that, you have to find your own way of doing it instead of trying to mimic the big people. Because let's just be honest. I mean, as much as I do appreciate Nancy Grace, when you watch a 45-minute episode, you're getting 10 minutes of information.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing over and over and over and over again. And us smaller creators, we don't have to do that. Yeah. We just don't have to do that. Like, I usually do make a post, and I'm horrible at reels. You know that I don't really like making reels, but sometimes I will if I know a family, it's important to them. But why things need to be covered 7 different times for the exact same information? We see this a lot with Nancy Guthrie right now.
Oh my God.
Why in the world are people saying there is updates and they're giving us the exact same information?
Oh, there's one guy, he's for Fox Nation. He has been in Arizona the entire time, and like, this is who is driving me nuts. He will go on TikTok like, hey guys, update in her case. She's still missing, but they're not letting news reporters in front of her property anymore.
Yeah.
And people are like,
who gives a fuck? What? Single language, you might have to bleep all of
them. They're like, so who cares? What's the update? Like, she's still missing.
Or that you aren't allowed to do the job you want to do anymore.
Yeah, so, you know? Like, things like that kill me with the oversaturation of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's, like, other TikTokers. Like, I don't know her name. She, like, pops up. She has glasses. And she goes, breaking news. And, like, talks in, like, a real thing. And, like, she did, like, 50-plus episodes on the Idaho 4. And I'm like, there's no new information I'm out, but I'm like, okay. I'm like, you kind of scare me, so I'll still watch it just so I can learn. But
yeah,
like, there's not enough information out there for like 50 different TikToks. And like, that is what kills me, is that TikToks, they are.
I can't do TikToks, not even on my phone.
Yeah.
I have one more thing I also hate, and it's the glorification of murderers now.
Yeah.
And some of your audience might think this is a very unpopular opinion, but like, it really bothers me. Like, if someone can kill somebody, unless it's true self-defense, there is no reason we should think anything positive of them. And I know that's a harsh opinion, but it's like with the Luigi Mangione. Sure, he had his issues. Sure, healthcare sucks. Sure, that guy is part, you know, he was a CEO of the company, of a healthcare company that wasn't doing well to, or doing good to people, I should say. But why in the world are we wanting to put money on this guy's books because he's hot? Why are we covering, oh, he wore a green sweater today and he just looked delicious? Like, he murdered somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, just straight up walked right up to him, shot him with no regard of cameras, and just walked off. Yeah. You know, serial killers the same way. It's like, I love Ryan Murphy. I will always love the American Horror Story franchise, probably up to about season 6. And then I
stopped after Hotel.
I watched up to Apocalypse. And that's when I kind of, you know, because I want Apocalypse kind of incorporated everyone. Yeah. I love that. But
which the new season has everyone coming back, so.
Yeah, it does.
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Which,
if they could make another Asylum, like, Hotel mashup, I'd be so happy.
Asylum's my favorite. Same. But I have a big problem with his Monster series.
Yeah, see, I I couldn't watch. I've seen like the TikToks of it.
Now, I did watch Jeffrey Dahmer. It was okay. I love Evan Peters. I love that man. So like I did watch it for him. But I just kept watching it the whole time being like, why am I supposed to sympathize with Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
And then the Menendez brothers, which is a little bit different story. Yeah. Like they were abused and stuff like that.
Then you had the Ed Gein.
The Ed Gein one, I wouldn't even watch.
I tried to get into it. Certain things threw me off.
It was so far away from the story. And it's like you clearly casted someone just because they were hot in that role. And it, again, it's this glorification of people that did horrendous things. And I feel like that's a very dangerous thing to do to our society, is to help us sympathize with people that are committing crimes to that level.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I love to go to the Alcatraz Museum in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I want to go to that.
Like, I want
to
see like OJ's Bronco.
Yeah, I want to see like the museums of death and stuff, but I'm not going to go there and film it.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make content out of it. And I'm not, I think there's a different way of just having interest and the way you put it out there to people, I guess is how I should say that. Like Ryan Murphy can have an interest in serial killers. A lot of us do. You know, I think the first, I think it was the first episode we did, I wore my serial killer bracelet. Yeah. Like, of course I don't mind looking into him and like watching actual documentaries of true things about them. But I'm also not getting on my channel and being like, God, Ted Bundy was so hot. If I was one of those sorority girls, like I would have loved for him to sneak him out. Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
100%.
You know, and like Luigi, just he gets on under my skin so much because, clearly there are issues with, and I understand his issues. Did killing that guy change anything?
No.
No. It changed absolutely nothing.
In fact,
nothing.
It could have made it worse.
It could have made it worse. And he just, and he might get off for it. You know, like that's kind of my thing is like, why, like you saw all these women making, again, TikToks and stuff being like, what's his books? I'll put my number on his books. You know, someone else, or he's assassinated. I would have a really big problem with people glorifying the person that assassinates him, because at the end of the day, that man killed, or I'm assuming it would be a man, killed somebody. You know, like, how is that okay? This man is not, in my opinion, a good person. Do I think he should be killed for? No, I think he should be alive and handle the consequences that comes his way. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that's death, because to me, that's the easy way out, in my opinion. I would have a huge problem if people thought this guy was hot. He killed the president. Let me put money on his books. Yeah. I'll send you dirty letters for the rest of your life. Like, that's weird. And we see that stuff all the time on social media. People talk like that all the time now and wonder why they can't get jobs and wonder why nobody trusts them and wonder why people think they're just harsh people and don't want to be around them. It's because you're glorifying the death of someone because you don't agree with maybe one, well, and the CEO guy, like you don't agree with his job.
Yeah.
So you think his kids and his wife should be without this person?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just have a huge problem with the glorification of killers at this point.
Same.
I think it's just went off the rocker, like completely off the rocker.
Same. So if you could reopen any cold case with unlimited resources, what case would it be?
Any cold case. That's a hard one. I don't know. What's your answer?
Well, James Lee Haynes, Charisse, Brenda. Mm-hmm. I would love to go into Irene Wilson.
Yeah. We know nothing about that poor
Roberta Elam.
Roberta Elam. Yes, is one I would love to find out what happened to her.
The co-eds. I would love. Yes. Because I do not believe it was him.
No, I don't either.
So, like, that case.
Mamie Thurman would be one I would think about because I also don't believe the person that was arrested.
I believe the person was arrested, but I think they were let go.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was the one who stayed in jail. I think it was his boss.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's another one?
Yeah, there's so many. My mind almost goes blank.
I would love Baby Christian.
Mm-hmm. Aaliyah Lunsford. I know her mom was convicted.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have never found her. Exactly. So I would love to, I don't know if they still are open or not, or because she's arrested, they closed it. But I would love to open that one just so we can figure out what happened to her body.
Yeah.
And just out tidbit for my video about Epstein, she's mentioned in the Epstein files.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
He was following press releases on, like, he, how do I say this? He had subscribed to the FBI press releases for certain things. And Aaliyah Lunsford, I can't tell if it was like her name or what, but there were different people or different press conferences being sent to him through his emails with updates on if her mom was staying in jail or not, if her appeal process went through, what happened with it and all that stuff.
I never
knew. And now that we know that he did so many horrific things with babies, is it possible?
I mean,
is it possible?
It
could easily be her mom though. Let me put that out there. It could easily just be her mom. But what was the other little girl? Overstreet, Angela Overstreet in Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for us to have unlimited resources to look into that.
Nellie and Ray. I would love, because like they say it's a prominent person in Beckley whose family is still prominent. I'm like,
Victor Shoemaker.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That case.
Yeah. Sue Richman.
Oh my God, Sue Richman.
I mean, again, you could just name.
Well, Margie Dodd, her case.
Margie Dodd, yeah.
I've heard who they think it is. And I'm like, oh, this is who I thought it was. I just didn't know their name. There's so many.
And we're just really talking about West Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, I would love Kiplin Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the guys just to get out of jail.
Yeah.
So.
JonBenet Ramsey.
I could go.
Malum Can. I'm naming all kids because I worry about kids the most. But like,
JonBenet Ramsey, I am on the Crime Junkie Fleet White theory. I think he had something to do with it. He knows what happened. Me and Courtney has argued about this case. I do not think her family is involved whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like by now they would have screwed up some way, shape, or form.
You know, her mom was Miss West Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's from Parkersburg.
Yeah.
You know, there. Here it goes again. Here I go. This is why I annoy everyone in my life. You know, there's a picture of a little girl sitting on Epstein's shoulders. Did I send you that?
I've seen it on TikTok. And people are like, it's JonBenet. And I'm like, it could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, who's to say that wasn't just made and he's like, oh, JonBenet was pretty?
I mean, she was in pageants and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think his brother is the one who lived in Boulder. So he would be.
I didn't know one of them lived in Boulder.
Yeah, Mark lived in Boulder.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So he was going to Boulder. There was a few emails where he was meeting Elon Musk's brother in Boulder.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for some rapid fire?
Yes.
Solved or unsolved cases?
To cover?
Mm-hmm.
Unsolved.
Okay. One case everyone should know about.
Leah Hickman.
Most shocking case you've ever researched.
What are we? Are we talking like gruesome or just not how I thought it would go.
Let's just do both.
Okay, gruesome, Danny Casolaro.
100%.
Not what I thought it was. I guess I'd say Jack, Denny. Yeah. Yeah. Because there was so little, I didn't know what I was walking into.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, final question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think creators have the responsibility to help put Kate? Do you think creators have a responsibility to help push cases forward?
That's a hard one. Yeah. Because I want to say yes, but I feel like it's only the ones they feel the push for. Yeah. Like, I don't like, just because we do true crime, we should have to do every update out there, because mm-hmm. realistically, that is going to cause burnout. And if your heart's not in it, I don't think you should cover it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like there's so many creators out there that why should we put that pressure to cover every single one on every single channel? Like, you know, we talk about all of them, whether yeah. we post about them or not. If I know you're posting, I'm like, great, I'll just share yours. That helps your engagement. Right. And I don't have the time to do it. I either have volleyball, basketball, Girl Scout, soccer, karate, like, you know, something yeah. after. And, you know, vice versa. Like, I'll tell you the cases I'm covering and it could be the same thing. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'll put this episode on a back burner for a little bit because mm-hmm. I know she's putting out a video. You know, like, so I feel like, yes, we do have the opportunity to put cases out there, so we should. Do I think it should be every single one? No. I think it should be the ones we're passionate about, because we all have a niche that we like to cover.
Same. Yeah. That's how I feel on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You have made it through the 27 questions.
Wow.
Yeah. Did not feel like that many.
But, no, it didn't. And I feel like this was longer than it feels like it was, too.
You know, I feel like it's been like an hour. But, yeah. you know, it's okay. You know, we get talking and we just don't stop.
And also, like, we don't get time to talk about us. It's yeah. always, we talk, but it's about other things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, guys, stay tuned, because me and Alex are going to go over two more cases.
Maybe.
Yeah.
God, we got to see what time it is.
Yeah. It was like 1 something last time I looked. And then we are going to go on location soon.
Yeah.
So, just stay tuned. You guys will see everything very soon.
Yep.
See ya.
Bye.